Good morning, good morning. If you're still in the side area, if you'd like to come through, if you're coming to take a seat, we're about to begin our worship. Lovely to see you on this sunny day. Just before we hand over to the band to lead our worship, as we were praying the earlier part of the morning, two related things came out as an invitation for us as a church to worship. We were reminded that the temple curtain was split, this great thick curtain that separated the holy place from the world was torn open when Christ died on the cross. And that curtain has never been mended. The way to the holy place is through him. And the other thing was a similar thing, that there is a gate that stands before us this morning, and you and I have the choice whether or not we go in through it. We are here to worship. Are we here to enter the holy place? Seek the presence of God himself. I don't think God issues invitations if he doesn't mean us to be blessed. So, get your best foot forward and head for the holy. Jess.
I just want to add on to the end of that, Richard, because this morning when I was getting ready to come here, I just felt, I was listening to this song, and the song says, "Let us be glad we're in the house of the Lord." And they were just singing these words over and over again. Let us be glad we're in the house of the Lord. And it just so fits in with what was happening up there, really, that, you know, do I come? Am I glad? I need to be. I should be. I want to be. I will be. And yeah, let us be glad we're in the house of the Lord. Let us worship together. Amen.
Thanks, Kim. Okay, church, if you are able to do, please stand with me. We're going to worship now. So let's just lift up our voices today. Let's come into his presence. Let's enter into his gates. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. Let our praise be your welcome. Let our song be a sign. We are here for you. We are here for you. Let your breath come from heaven. Fill our hearts with your life. We are here for you. We are here for you. To you our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy. Only you are worthy. God, let your fire fall down. Let us shout, let us shout. Be your anthem, your renown. Fill the skies, we are here for you. Yes, Lord, we are here for you. Let your word move in power. Let what's dead come to life. We are here for you. We are here for you. To you our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy. Only you are worthy. God, let your fire fall. Listen again, church, to your hearts. To you our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy. Only you are worthy. God, let your fire fall down. Let your fire fall down. Let your fire fall down. We welcome you. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. Let every heart adore. Let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. To your hearts. To you our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy, only you are worthy, God, that you fight for. Make it a prayer today, church. You are open, nothing here is hidden, you are our one desire. You alone are holy, only you are worthy, God, let your fire fall down. Let your fire fall down. We welcome you. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. Let every heart adore. Let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place.
Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Are we standing with the notices?
Hello, that's better. Okay, it's really good to see you all, so a very warm welcome to all of you and to those of you who are online, and especially to anybody who's here for the first time this morning. It's great to be together. We do have some really sad news, though, this morning to start with. Last weekend, Ernie Puffett passed away. Ernie's been a member here since the 1970s, right through to the 2000s, so I don't think there's many of us around who have been here that long. But he was a deacon during the 80s and the 90s, so I'm sure some of you will remember him. And more recently, he returned sort of when we started Renew, and he was here every week, which was absolutely lovely. And he enjoyed Elisa's painting, and yeah, he was great to have around, so we will miss him. His funeral is on Friday the 10th of May at 1 o'clock. It will be live streamed, so we can get the details to you of that if you would like them. Julie Passmore is the main link, really, for Ernie. So if you want to know any more, have a chat with her. And then on Thursday this week as well, Rosemary Francis also died. Rosemary was a member here from the early 80s. Right up to about 3 or 4 weeks ago when she became too unwell to get here. And she was a member of my home group for about 15 years at least. We can't quite work it all out because it feels like she's been around forever. So she helped with the toddlers, she did all sorts of things. So again, we will really, really miss her. There's no funeral details yet, but as soon as we know them, we'll let you know. So maybe we could just pray for their families now before we say anything else. Father, we thank you for Ernie and for Rosemary and for their faithfulness to you and for all they meant to so many here and to their friends and family. We ask for your peace and your comfort, especially for Ernie's four daughters and their wider family and friends, and for Rosemary's husband John and their son Richard and the grandchildren and her wider family and friends. We pray that as they mourn, their memories will become joyful and they will know your love surrounding them. Amen. Thank you. So today, not everybody is here because some people are in London. doing crazy things like running a London Marathon. And Alistair, so that's Alistair and April, and also Jess Passmore, Julie's daughter-in-law, Ian's, yeah. And they're all running for different charities. So the details for Alistair and April are on the weekly email. So just have a look there, and the link will take you straight through to their Just Giving pages. It would be really great to support them. It's not too late. So I know they'd love that. And John Lex has more details as well. So if you want to chat to him, he can point you in the right direction. And can we remember to continue to pray for Finlay? He's in France. He's going to be joining the WEC team for a four-week mission next weekend, is it, Dan? Yeah, next weekend. So do remember to pray for him. It sounds as if he's having a good time, so let's just pray that that continues. And that's all, really, apart from our offering. Offering. Okay. There's normally other things on here to say how we can do the offerings. We can do them. It's behind me. Well, that's good. So if somebody could take the baskets around, but I know that not everybody has cash. So my lovely assistant here, Carla. Yeah, that looks really good, doesn't it? If you just have a card, you can just tap it on there. I don't ask me how it works, but it sounds good to me. All right. Thank you.
Okay, church, just while the basket's going round, we're going to continue with our worship. Okay, church, you know, when things seem quite difficult and we're in a bit of a warfare situation, it's great to lift up our voices, isn't it? And raise a hallelujah. We don't need to be in a warfare situation to raise a hallelujah. Any situation. But, you know, let me just encourage you today, church. Let's just praise. Because when we praise and when we worship, we draw closer to the Lord. You know, we can feel the presence of the Lord as we enter into His presence, into His throne room. So let me just, again, let me really just encourage you just to lift up our voices, raise a hallelujah over the situations that you may find yourself in. Because our God is King. The victory is His. Amen? Amen. So church, join with me. Let's stand and let's raise a hallelujah. You remain seated if you want to, that's absolutely fine. But let's just lift up our voices and get into His presence this morning. I'll raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I'll raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I'll raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I'll raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me.
I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Hallelujah.
in the middle of the mystery. I raise a hallelujah. Feel lost, your hold on me.
I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm.
Alive. Hallelujah. Praise God. I think we're going to pray a blessing now upon the kids as they go out. We pray a blessing on the workers. We just pray they have a great time. We just thank you, God, for the children, for the workers, and for that ministry. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Testimony from this week of how good our God is and how he looks after us. Just to say, I wasn't here last Sunday because I was taking my daughter back to university in Bath, and on the way I was driving up the motorway, probably slightly over 70, but came off the motorway up a slope to get to the roundabout, and on that slope my brakes failed, and had it been seconds before, it could have been a really bad situation. As it was, I had to use the handbrake to pull up, and it was, you know, and we managed to limp it round the roundabout to find a hard shoulder. So in December I cancelled my RAC. I rang up, said, right, want a refund? I don't really want this RSC, and I cancelled it. And they said something about, oh, we'll keep your name on the system. And I was like, yeah, fine. So I rang them expecting a massive bill to them saying it took for a call out. And they said, oh, no, you've got membership. And I said, no, I cancelled it. And when I looked back at my emails, I had an email that I hadn't read, that said, congratulations, we're giving you a year's free membership. So I was like, oh, okay, thank you very much. They then said, because of where you are, we'll be with you in half an hour. So we sat on the side of the road in the sunshine, which is quite rare, and the guy came out. And as he pulled up, another car pulled up. This is the other side of Southampton, so it's not round here. Out of the other car came Alistair. I was like, wow. And I said, Iz, we're being really looked after here. The guy, they couldn't fix the car, but he said, do you know what? You've literally pulled up. There's a garage up the road with a McDonald's. So why don't you and your daughter, we'll manage to get you there. Go and sit at McDonald's, have lunch, relax, and we'll get someone to tow you back. Now, the end of the story is the car is, you know, it's time to get rid of the car. But how looked after are we? We've got a God who protects us, absolutely, looked after us, sends people, yeah, you know, sets us up to say, I'm looking after you. So I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, we are loved. We serve an almighty, amazing God, don't we? Incredible. It's just great to hear testimonies like that.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Come on, church, every single voice now. Blessed be the name.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be your name.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be your name.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Let's sing that again, church. Blessed be the name.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be your name.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be your name.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. For he is our rock. For he is our rock. The Lord, for he is our rock, for he is our rock, he is the Lord. Jesus reigns on high in all the earth. Jesus reigns on high in all the earth.
Jesus reigns on high.
Jesus reigns on high in all the earth. Jesus reigns on high in all the earth.
The universe.
The universe is in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. For He is our rock. For He is our rock. He is the Lord. For He is our rock. For He. Situation we are in, Lord. You care for us, Lord. You love us, Lord. We thank you, God, for the way that we have this relationship with you, Lord. We thank you, God, that we have freedom in you, Lord. Freedom reigns in this place.
I just really felt this morning that we have a choice how we do things. And as we sing, we're actually speaking to our souls. We're saying, whatever's happening in our lives, yet I will praise God. And as we voice these words of truth, actually it's causing our hope and our soul to rise. And sometimes there's a time for actually saying, yet I will praise God. Yes, He reigns on high. Yes, He has defeated the enemy. And we have been singing this morning, and I really feel that God is going to do something amazing in your lives as you speak out, as you sing out. So I want to encourage you that hope rises as we speak the words of truth to our souls. You know, as we speak the words of the songs, they're not just words of the songs. They're actually truth about our God. You know, Christ was raised from the dead. The same spirit that lives in Him lives in us. You know, heaven is a place that we can touch by His Spirit. We can have His presence now. We can have His freedom now. And sometimes if you've been in a difficult place or had a week where your head's been full of stuff, we have to tell our souls, yet I will praise my God. Yet I will believe what He's saying. And actually that does amazing things in our hearts. It releases His presence, His Spirit, and helps us move forward. So I want to urge you to do business with God this morning.
It's amazing, thank you.
The Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Lift your eyes to heaven. There is freedom. lift your eyes to heaven. There is freedom. 'Cause freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom.
If you're tired,
if you're tired and thirsty, there is freedom.
It's an invitation, church.
If you're tired and thirsty, there is freedom. Give your all to Jesus. There is freedom. Give your all to Jesus. There is freedom. 'Cause freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom.
'Cause freedom reigns. Freedom reigns.
Freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom.
We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus, for your freedom, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for your peace, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for your reign on high, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for your forgiveness, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for your provision, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for your love, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for your freedom. 'Cause freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom. Come on, church, every single voice now. Listen to those voices.
'Cause freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom.
Let's continue that, church. Freedom reigns.
'Cause freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom.
Freedom, Lord, just to spend time in your presence, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise be to you, God. church now. These are songs which we know. So I want you just to rest in these as we sing these. Focus on the words. Lift up your hearts. Lift up your very beings. Sing these words of love to our King, our Lord, and our Saviour this morning.
From you are all things, and to you are all things.
exalt thee. I exalt thee. I exalt thee. O Lord. I love to worship you, oh my soul. Sing it, church. Rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet.
May it be, church.
May it be a sweet, sweet.
May it be.
May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. We thank you, God, that we have the freedom to worship. We thank you, God, that we have this relationship with you. Lord, we are so grateful. And we lift up our praises. And we thank you, God, for your presence in this place this morning. Your impact in our lives. Your work through your Spirit in this place. And I now pray a blessing upon the word. We pray, Lord, that you just open up our hearts and ears to receive what it is that you have to say to us today, Lord. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Is this all? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Now, I'm just going to put my Hank Marvins on, and you'll say, who's Hank Marvin?
There we go. Ah. Wish I could play the guitar like him.
Right. Well, sometimes I can't believe I'm here. And you're having to listen to me. But Kim said just before the service, Kim said, last time I spoke, I spoke to the wall. Kim, that wall. I hope the wall was duly blessed. Which wall today? Oh, this one. Okie dokes. Should we just pray? Lord, we just thank you. We just thank you for a wonderful time in your presence. It's lovely just to be with you, to say that we love you, to say that you're everything that we want. And so, Lord, we just thank you for that time to worship. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, I just thank you that this is your word that we share. Lord, I just pray that you'll take away my words and that you would speak today. In the name of Jesus, amen. It came from outer space. It was a meteorite, a big black block of material covered in bumps. But there was something about those bumps. they were rather reminiscent of human breasts. Well, what could this be? This must be, said the people of Ephesus. This must be a gift from our mother goddess Artemis. Let's put it on an altar in a magnificent temple that will be a wonder of the ancient world. Hey, here's an economic opportunity. Why don't we make some little silver reproductions of the goddess and make that a must-buy for the inevitable tourists to be put upon their mantel shelf? So there it is. I want today to put a little emphasis on Ephesus and to look at the church, and then we have a little insight later into Ephesus. To look first at the heritage of the church, what it inherited. Well, if you have your Bibles in Acts chapter 18, you'll find out that Paul, he pops in for a bit, and then he says a few words, and then he says, if the Spirit's willing, then I'll come back. And the Spirit was willing. And so in chapter 19, we find Paul is back. Chapter 19 of Acts, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. And great things happen. They received the Holy Spirit. 12 disciples who didn't know there was a Holy Spirit received the Holy Spirit under Paul's ministry. They speak in tongues. They prophesy. Verse 8, what do we read? Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. He spoke boldly there for 3 months. So don't complain about the length of the sermons here. There's a little bit of argy-bargy after the 3 months. And so he spends 2 years in the hall of Tyrannus speaking the gospel, lecturing, giving them teaching. And in verse 11, we read remarkable things happening. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so even handkerchiefs and aprons that touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Wow, signs and wonders, everything fantastic. Then there's a little to do with some sons of Sceva who try and cast out demons, and the demons don't recognize them. They recognize Paul and they recognize Jesus, but they don't recognize them. And this is a bit scary. And then people get really upset. It's those silversmiths of Artemis, and they really get upset about the threat to their goddess and to their pockets, and so there's a riot takes in. So there it is. They've had 2.25 years. It's called 3 years because apparently this is rather derrick, this business. Apparently, if you have a bit of a year, it counts as a year in Jewish thought. So there it is. And they've had 2.25 years of the apostle. And you think, fantastic, what an inheritance. 2 years. Jesus was only here for 3 years, and Paul's there for almost that time. Wow, what a foundation. Oh, you can answer it. And then, of course, Paul writes a letter. Letters to the Ephesians. Some describe it as the Queen of Epistles. And although Derek and I might prefer Colossians, it is an outstanding piece of scripture. It speaks that far from Diana coming down, Artemis coming down to the people, we are being raised to the heavenly realms. And we were speaking about the battle. That means we're in a battle in the heavenly realms. But the heavenly realms is where Jesus is. And we're there with him. We're in that dimension. Fantastic. Fantastic stuff. Riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Gentiles and Jews, fellow citizens. And wow, what an inheritance this Ephesus has. And they even have Timothy as a pastor there. They even have John, the Apostle John, stayed there. Wow. What a foundation to build on. And so, in view of this heritage, is it a surprise to read in the book of Revelation another letter? And this is what we're going to look at today. Revelation chapter 1. And chapter 1, beginning with verse, verse 9. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Why do we upset people so much? They want to remove us. On the Lord's day, I was in the spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamon, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and his chair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. And in his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now and what will take place later, the mystery of the seven stars you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands is this. the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. And here's the letter. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested from those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Applause. Well done. Well done. Ephesians, well done. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Interesting. It's the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. Jesus is moving in his church. And some feel that these churches represent, as it were, all sorts of churches. Some who are moving on, some who have lost it, quite frankly. And it's a picture in that seven, that number seven speaks of perfection, completion, doesn't it, in the scripture. And I was always a bit concerned. Do you remember Michael Jackson? He did an album called History, and he had an armband with 777 on it. That's sad, isn't it? And I thought, who do you think you are? But anyway, that's digression. But it's very interesting that among these churches, maybe the most popular ones were the ones Jesus didn't think a lot of. Which is interesting, isn't it? You can be outwardly successful, but it doesn't mean much to him. I remember I have a tape. There's very little machines you can play tapes on now. But it was by Ian Andrews, and it was he was given a vision, and the vision of a Jesus. And Jesus was saying, I want my church back. I want it back. So important that he's at the center, isn't it? So important that he's. And isn't it lovely that he starts with the positive? Jesus starts with the positive. He knows. And he's the only one who does, isn't he? He's the one who does know. And there's deeds, hard work, perseverance, and discernment. In Acts 20, we read about Paul saying goodbye to the elders who were very upset that he was leaving them. And Paul had said to them, even from among your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. And how interesting, it seems as though they've listened, because it says here that I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. So that's a great thing, isn't it? That they're aware. And that's a lesson for us, isn't it? We have to be watching ourselves. As a church, we need to watch ourselves. We need to watch our leaders. We need to recognize that Satan can get hold of anyone. And we can become puffed up and think we're something. And it worth feel we have the truth rather than God's truth. So they were great things. They'd listened, that had come along. And their involvement in the church, it's cost them. They've endured hardship. They've carried on. It would have been so much easier to give up. But, and it's a big but, nothing personal, but there it is. And this is what he said. And yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. He can do that. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practice of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. They had forsaken their first love. And you say, what's gone wrong? How's this come about? Maybe other considerations, other concerns, other relationships may have come in. You know, it's even the great Smith Wigglesworth, there was a time where he was so much more into his plumbing business than the things of God. Even someone who God used so mightily, there was a time where other things came in. They come in and they obscure our view of Jesus, and we're no longer face to face with him. It was true of Ephesus. This once prosperous port had silted up. It is no longer on, as it were, on the river edge. It's moved inland as the silt has come on and separated it from the water. It makes you think that we can be doing that and this and that in the church because we've always done it, and it can become a substitute for the vital relationship with Jesus. Oswald Chambers says, beware of any work for God that enables you to evade concentration on him, where we feel we're all right. Or it may be that something's happened. Oswald Chambers speaks of inner desolations. These can be an experience that we see or experience something that, in our opinion, just shouldn't happen. And we have a great illustration in the scriptures of such a situation. And it's the book, it's Lamentations. And Lamentations, the word for the book is Acar, and it means how. And it's the how of extent. How has this happened? How? In verse 1, it says, how deserted lies the city Look, O Lord, upon my affliction, for the enemy has triumphed. And this was the destruction of Jerusalem in 586. And tradition says that it's Jeremiah looking on and seeing what has happened. And he knew the people had done wrong. They knew the people had sinned and rejected, but oh, destruction was something else that they saw. And so it is, we turn to chapter 3. And verse 3, he has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. And then, in verse 21, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And in that desperate situation, faith comes in. That knowledge of who God is and what he's like. And so he can respond positively that God will take his people through this situation. And what Elisa shared with us today, this might be your situation that you're facing, one of those inner desolations that God's taking you through. Things have happened that you just can't understand, that you can't grasp. And there's a response that you can have. It can result in your losing your first love, or it can result in you responding with faith and saying, I don't understand it, but I know my God, I know my Jesus, and he will take me through it. I remember a story a guy told of a lady, and she was stricken, and she was lying on her bed. She couldn't speak. That had been taken away from her, and all she could do, she had a stick, and she could use her hand, and she could spell out messages to people, and she loved Jesus. And so what she used to do was she used to spell out the gospel, this stricken woman. And she, when people came to visit her, she used to spell out the gospel as the people who came to see her. And you know, a lot of people became Christians because of what she'd done. And she could have said, look, God, what you've done to me. But she didn't. She went through, as it were, the inner desolation. And she used it for Jesus. And people who saw her must have been amazed. How can this be? But that's how God used her to bring people into his kingdom. And so it goes on and it says, remember the height from which you have fallen. Do you know, I don't think they had any idea. I don't think they had any idea. They were just carrying on, doing church things, you know, carrying on being leaders. You know, I don't know. I used to know a minister, and he used to have, like, the deacons meeting, and it was almost as though he was facing the Spanish Inquisition when he went to his deacons. And he used to think, isn't there meant to be brotherly love and kindness shared? What's gone wrong? You know, it's as though some people have had a second baptism of vinegar. Which is why we need each other, because we can all go off the rails. You know, I've heard just this week about a great Christian leader who's basically gone off the rails. And we need each other to say, no, that's not quite right. As it were, lovingly to share. And my wife will tell you, Kim will tell you that I'm a very individual person. And I don't like to be told, but sometimes I need to be told. And when people do it in love and concern, it's recognised. And so we need each other. And these, they've lost their first love and they've really fallen a long way away. And they need someone. In this case, it's Jesus who points it out. But we need our brothers and our sisters to keep us on the right road, looking at Jesus, looking into his eyes and serving him. Repent, it says, and do the things you did at first. Do you know, it's very interesting, you know, not only was Jess motoring over 70, so am I. I'm motoring over 70. And it's funny when you look back, and you know, we had Finlay, and it was lovely, wasn't it? It was coming in so, all that enthusiasm. I don't know much French, but God, you know, God will provide that lovely freshness, you know, that trust in Jesus. And I started looking back myself and I thought, gosh, do you remember? I used to have this phrase, I called it the giggle of God. It's that giggle when it bubbles up inside. You're so happy in Jesus. You're so happy. You wouldn't be anywhere else but being with him. And then I look back, I think, oh, yes, I used to have this phrase, the giggle of God, where you're bubbling inside with joy. And I think, oh, I haven't giggled lately. You know, isn't it funny? When the Spirit moves, you're in a meeting and the Spirit comes down and there's some people giggling, some people crying sometimes because God is moving them, and some people giggling. And I'm sure you'll know which one Kim will be. And the sheer joy of the Lord. So, as we look back, what were we like? Have we lost something along the way? Have we become a bit sort of set in our ways, less open to God, less face to face with him? Are we where we were? One more good thing. They hate the practices of the Nicolaitans. That's interesting. You don't hate the Nicolaitans. You hate what they do, but you don't hate them. Even though they're doing dreadful things, what they were up to was just compromising all the way. You know, why stand out? Why be different? Go on, join in the idolatry. You know, have a good time while you're here on earth. That's all right. And so, just as Jesus hated their practices, although he loved them, and so it is that Nicolaitans, again, the tradition says this could have been one of the deacons chosen in Acts who went off the rails. Anyone can go off the rails. We need each other. We need Jesus. We need his Spirit all the time. So, just to finish, there's a wonderful reward for them. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. To him who overcomes, the right to eat from the tree of life. Perfect fellowship restored, just like Adam and Eve in that garden. The paradise is the picture of a beautiful garden. Perfect fellowship restored. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? That's what we're looking forward to, life with Jesus, enjoying him, looking upon him, enjoying his presence. That's what it's all about. It's not the hokey-cokey. It's all about Jesus. And it seems that God is pulling the carpet of history towards himself. And that means that sooner or later we will all face Jesus. And I have a favourite hymn writer. His name was Augustus Montague Toplady. What a name. But I love, he finishes one of his hymns and it goes, "And as fast as my moments roll on, they bring me but nearer to thee." Amen.
We come to the end of our service. I'm going to ask the band to come back in a minute and to just play and maybe sing quietly while anybody who needs to respond to what God has said to you today, there'll be people here at the front who'll be willing to pray with you. But the service is finished as such, so if you want to go and get your tea and your coffee, go and rescue the teachers from the children who sound as though they're having a wonderful time. Please do. So God bless you. Have a wonderful week. But don't forget, there's an opportunity. If you want to do business with God, come out to the front. Some people will be here to pray with you. Thank you. And bless you, Simon, for sharing God's word today.